Hello, Sam.
Oh, we're back.
Were you going like really fast by the mic?
Yeah, I run really fast across the room.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes I run really fast across the room again. And see, this is what we call audio jokes. Audio jokes, because I'm swinging the mic in front
of
my face.
I'm trying so hard to make the sound, but what's the sound? You do it really well. When you go really, you're going really fast by something.
Whoop.
Yep. That's it. Today feels different. I am sitting on a couch with my legs splayed out, and it's amazing and soft and squish, which means it's a good time for a nap, but I won't do it. Because normally we sit in like hard wooden chairs, and like it's very formal. Honest to God, it's very formal. But today it's a squishy couch with the dogs like on my lap, and something weird is happening outside the window.
Oh, the sun is out?
It's sunny!
I know.
We're recording during the day because we are super massive mega procrastinating failures.
Listen, it's hot girl summer. It you is. Were seeing your dad last night.
Yes. I texted you from dinner with my dad. I was 10 p.m. and I was still at dinner with my dad, which is about an hour and a half away from like our house, like where I was. And I was like, oh, we have to record a podcast tonight, don't we? And you were like, yes. And I said, like, I'm doing the math and I won't be home until probably like 12:30, maybe 1 a.m. Do you still want to do it? And then you gave me the out. You were like, you want to do it tomorrow?
Listen, I'd rather have...
And I was like, yes.
I'd rather have a fresh Greer and also an excuse to play no less than 4 hours of Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. Oh, it's Miller time. There you go. In the middle of the day. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Hey, listen, this is a brand new type of sparkle water. It's AHA sparkling water, and it's blackberry and lemon, and it is a direct competitor to Bubbly.
Oh,
which
shoot.
Feels like I have no brand loyalty. And
listen,
I feel
one of them has to sponsor the podcast, and then we can lock it down.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right.
Yes. I have some things to say.
Okay. She's going to speak.
But those words came out of my mouth before I was ready.
You had the thoughts ready?
Exactly with what I was going to say. But yep. I do have a lot of things to say. We've been cuckoo bananas in the most beautiful way. Because we've been shooting like crazy. We're doing like banana sandwiches amounts of Shutterhound planning. You've been doing a lot of mulching around the yard.
Yeah, I won't get too much into the mulch talk because I'm sure I don't want to bore people to death. But our house is on a very steep hill, and our front yard goes down on a super steep angle. So it's pretty much impossible to grow grass on it because you can't mow it at that angle. You're just pushing a mower like straight up. So it's mulched instead. And I finally convinced Kaylee that it was worth spending some money to invest in a new layer of mulch.
You buy new mulch every year.
No, nope,
like, you think it's going to be some sort of miracle cure. You did
last
year.
Nope,
and last
2 years.
You bought it in like October. And
doesn't
I was like,
matter.
What are you doing? It's about to be winter. It's so silly. What a silly thing. Like,
two years. So
I disagree with you on the mulch, like the amount and frequency of mulch.
So I mulch the front all by myself, and it's hard to describe exactly how big and steep this is and how awful it was, but it took about 8 hours, and at the end, I was just a broken man.
I watched you on the Nest Cam, and yep. I was like, wow, look at this guy go. But I was upstairs editing photos and galleries. To be fair, I do help with a lot of the yard work, but you do a ton. Like, you're always, like, outside busy, but we have had so many clients this summer that, like, if I don't keep up with, like, the constant stream of galleries and edits and orders and artwork prep, I can't.
Your time is better used doing that than it is tossing mulch around.
Well, and we, like, did get a quote for the yard, like, someone to come and just, like, do the yard every few weeks, and it was, like, astronomical because we have a huge yard, and it's, like, all, like Sam's saying, extremely steep, like, grades. It's, like, very weird, like, super... Our house is, like, basically up on a giant hill, which I love, and it was what sold me the house, basically, because it's, like, the most beautiful view, and it's so idyllic, but... It does get struck by lightning because there are no trees around right by our house. Mm-hmm. And it's like very starkly like out in the open.
Yeah. We have one, pretty much exactly 1 acre of land, but only like 60% of it is like mowable.
True.
Other than that, it's like there's some woods, there's some trees. Pavement, there's all the house itself, all that stuff, the trees. And some, the person quoted us $140
I mean,
a mow.
To be honest though, like I think in the world of mowing, that's not even that bad.
But I can't spend that's for every other week or something.
Well, because it's been raining absolutely nonstop. So if you're from New England, then you know, like, this summer has been like the rainiest summer in my like entire memory of life. And it's rained like, I don't know, for a while there it was raining every day for like, I don't know, a week and a half or something. It rained every single day. But then it's raining otherwise, just on any normal day, any like, I don't know, every other day it's raining. And so I'm mowing every like 3 days right now. Because it's popping up so fast. But you know what? That's good. It's good for the earth. Go earth. Get some green. Get some green grass. And make it happen.
This concludes mowing talk.
Yeah. Anyway, so. And Sam. Yeah. I'm looking out the window right now as we're recording this and I'm going nuts.
She's devastated.
The sky is beautiful out there. It's like bright blue, gorgeous skies with like wispy white swirly clouds everywhere. And I'm like, we have to be shooting. We need to go shoot right now. But instead we're stuck inside. That drives me nuts. I'm not one of those people that could ever stay inside for any reason. And it's really hard for me when I have like so much computer work to do, because like I have to force myself sometimes to stay inside, which is, by the way, why I like it when it rains, because then I like have this sense of like, oh, relief, like, okay, it's fine, because you know what I mean, it like the sky looks like crap and it wouldn't be great to be shooting in the rain anyway. Although I gotta tell you, I know I don't have a lot of breaths between my thoughts, but a couple weeks ago we had a shoot with the most gorgeous pitbull mix. Probably she was brindle and she looked like pitbull boxery. She was so beautiful.
Is this Roxy?
This was Roxy?
Yeah.
No, sorry, that wasn't Roxy.
Different mix. Oh, Phoebe.
You don't remember Phoebe?
Yeah, okay. All right, yeah.
Wow, Sam, you had a massive brain fart.
Listen, we've photographed a lot of dogs and more than one meets that description, so go ahead.
No, Roxy was an English bulldog, like an old English bulldog.
Okay.
And she was at Webb.
On with the story.
Right. So anyway, so this dog was so lovely. She's kind of like puppy-ish. She's pretty young. Mm-hmm. I think she's under one, mm-hmm. or maybe she's one. Anyways, so we like explicitly waited for rain at the end of her shoot because we had this gorgeous day. Well, it was like absolutely pouring all day and we were like, should we do the shoot, should we not, should we do it, should we not? But this client is so awesome and she actually happens to only live like 15 minutes away from where we live.
Nobody lives 15 minutes from where we live,
which is weird, because yeah, we live in like middle of absolutely nowhere, like a mountain town, like nothing going on. And so it was kind of cool though, because we were like, well, it's pouring, we don't know if we should, but then we're like, you know what, like what's the worst thing, like let's go forge ahead with the shoot, because sometimes rain skies are the best skies of all time. And then worst thing is she comes, you know, 15 minutes or whatever, and we go to a cool location that's up here. It's very like natural and wild and gorgeous, and it's got like mountains and water and trees and forest and paths. And the worst thing is we'll just end up going for like a walk if it's bad weather. We'll go for a walk all together. We'll like get to know each other and then we'll just do it again another day. So we just decided to go for it. And it ended up that the rainstorms broke for literally the exact like 2 hours that we were shooting. Mm-hmm. And it was spectacular. The sky was spectacular. The weather, the light, the just the temperature was perfect. Like everything was perfect.
I always tell our clients, like, this is a high risk, high reward day.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So have an adventure, come out with us. Like we might get photos, we might not. And you know, if anything is less than optimal, we're just going to do it again a different day.
Yeah, exactly. Like why not? These people are making a big investment. Like they're incredibly excited and they don't want to have their like this thing they've been looking forward to for so long, like quashed by bad weather. So we always leave like a little bit of time in our schedule just in case, like if anything goes wrong, if it's just terrible and it was just black, cloudy skies or anything was just not less than ideal, then we'll just, I don't know, I don't have an issue at all. Like it's the best job in the world. I don't mind at all doing it again if we have to. So that's kind of what we said to this client. But then we got the most perfect weather of all time. It couldn't have been better. But then at the end, I was like, all right, where's that rain? I want the rain to come back now that I got all these amazing, insane, like optimal shots. Now I want the rain because I have an idea and I want to put this dog up on a stump. And we were in this gorgeous spot where there's these tall, tall green grasses and it looks like a dream. Like when we used our lighting on it, it looked like a dream because the sky was this like deep blue. And then sure enough, like we're standing on this edge, the edge of this lake, and you can see, this is my favorite thing about the summer, I guess anytime it rains, but like the summer is where I think of this, where you can see rain coming towards you, like in a sheet, so you can see the edge of the rain, like where the edge of the rainstorm starts, and then it's coming at you at like high speed or whatever speed depending on the storm, right? And you can see, like, you're like, all right, it's gonna be here in like 3 minutes, like everyone get ready. And it was kind of like heavy rain and we were like waiting for it. I was like, okay, guys, like if you don't mind, like will you stick with me and wait for this? Because we're all done with everything. We had the most amazing day. Well, now here's time for the bonus like sparkle rain shots. So we got like all of our lighting set up. We got like like a flash ready in the background to be able to like light up the raindrops, like little sparkles. Oh my God, it was so amazing. It was amazing. And it came. It finally came. And by this time, the cool thing was the dog had like kind of been trained throughout the session to learn that like she needs to go up on the stump to put her little two front paws up on it.
They all learn so, pretty quickly.
Yeah. So by that time, she like actually already knew to do it anyway. So she was kind of better trained anyway for those shots at the end. And yep, the rain came sweeping in and it was the most fun. We were all like just like squealing with delight and giggling because we were like absolutely soaked. The only person that wasn't squealing with delight, by the way, was Sam.
I'm trying to keep all of our gear from being destroyed.
You are notoriously bad about like spontaneity and things that are like not strictly according to plan that happen, which is so funny because you and I couldn't be more like opposite in that way. So like we've said this before, if we're like driving around like a place and I see something beautiful and I'm like, oh my God, pull over. You absolutely cannot. You cannot do that because that wasn't in the plan.
But, so right. And also, I'll be in the left lane and there'll be four lanes of highway. And Kayla's like, get off right in here.
The thing is, because I know if I was behind the wheel, I could do it because I have like, yeah, I have the reflexes of a cat and I can do it. Fast is what I mean.
So I think
Sam's looking at me with like questionable eyes.
Yeah, I think the point that maybe you've been getting at for the last 12 minutes is that we've had a lot of like really epic private client shoots this year, which is great because we don't get to do it every year. Some years we only take on a few private clients and then we have a lot more commercial work and travel and that sort of thing. And this year we're at home, we're doing a lot of Shutterhound work. So we're like, all right, let's get some private clients in. These people have been waiting a long time on the waiting list. Let's get to them. Let's do it. And so we've been really working hard throughout the month of June. And we've got just a few more in July. Got a woman coming up from Tennessee.
Tomorrow,
exciting.
Shoot. Yeah, she's so lovely. She's coming up in her truck with her dog. And I think that's what she does for a living is drives trucks, right? Mm-hmm. So she's going to stay in her truck, I think, tonight.
Yep.
Like by the location, right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's like one of those huge trucks with like a sleeping bay and all that, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, yeah, because otherwise you hear that and you're thinking like, wait a second, please don't sleep in a truck. I'll get you a hotel. But no, it's probably really nice is my guess.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I'm so excited about that one. This is going to be the dog is so gorgeous. She's been tagging me on Instagram like every few weeks and I'm so excited to meet this dog. He's just stunning. And actually, he's a breed that I have quite literally never photographed or ever heard of.
What's his breed?
You don't remember? All right, someone's going to really make fun of me because there's no way I'm pronouncing this right, but I'm just going to try. A Jagged Terrier? J-A-G-T. Nope. J-A-G-D. Hold on. Let me just look it up.
Oh, wow.
J-A-G-D-T-E-R-R-I-E-R. Jagged Terrier. Oh. I'm sure it's German.
If it's German,
sure
that might be
Jagged. Yeah. It's probably Jagged Terrier. Maybe I can, like, how to pronounce on Google.
We'll ask the dog tomorrow how to pronounce Yogged. His breed.
I bet you anything it's, like, Yogged. But it means hunt terrier, and he's, like, this little black and brown scruffy thing. He's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, if he's German, then I wonder if that's why his name is, like, what's his name? Fyodor?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
It's, like, the German version of Theodore? Or is it Russian?
It's Russian. Dostoevsky's first name.
Is it Fyodor or Fyodor?
I'm not going to be able to give you the right answer.
Yeah, you're right, though. That is his Dotsk. Listen, I'm not going to say these words, but that is That is the first name of the person that
you
mentioned.
We're but simple dog photographers.
He wrote Crime and Punishment.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Wikipedia.
This dog is a direct descendant of him, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
That math works out.
Joshua's doing cute stretches. Which is my favorite thing in the world, and he's doing his grumbles.
Mm-hmm.
Grumbles for when he's tired and he kind of like...
Yes, now is the section of the podcast where we describe what the dogs are doing in the room.
I wish that we could mic him up for his grumbles. I think we've tried before, but they're like so subtle and magical. They're just for me, I think. because I can't get them on mic.
So we've been crushing it with the private clients. All the shoots have gone great. The clients themselves have been amazing.
I feel so like incredibly lucky. Everybody's just such a dream to work with.
We're doing that. We're planning Shutterhound, which, by the way, is September 5th, 6th, and 7th at the Mirage in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's going to be epic. But other than those two giant tasks, it's Hot Girl Summer. And Kaylee, what are your plans for the rest of Hot Girl Summer?
Oh my gosh. I want to float on the Saco River. I want to get a tube and sit in it and just float all day on the river. There is a way to do that. There's a service that like you can go get a tube and then you get in the river and then you sit on it all day. And then like 8 hours later, this bus comes and picks you up.
Yeah. I researched it today. They drop you off first and then you float to their
headquarters. Actually, that's pretty smart.
That's where your car is. So you can do it at your own speed.
Oh, this makes me so happy.
But yes, that sounds
good. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, like, because otherwise, what are the logistics on that? Like, oh, all the tubes have to get here at exactly this time. Like, everybody floats at a different speed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You might want to pull over, see a beach, see a tree, see a bird. You never know. So I'm excited about that. I'm so excited. I wish Joshua could float with us, but I have a feeling they don't allow dogs to float.
Oh, they don't allow high anxiety dogs to to float on the Saco? Especially dogs that can't swim?
Junie, well, Joshua can swim, number one.
Joshua can swim for like 11 feet.
And then Junie is, she's like a veteran canoer. She's excellent in the canoe.
She has been in a canoe.
And she's very chill. She's got the coolest energy.
Where do we canoe with her? Was it Brattleboro?
Brattleboro, Vermont, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was the Brattleboro River.
Yeah.
It was beautiful, and she was, like, chilling. It was kind of hot that day, though, so I think I remember you and I, like, going crazy trying to paddle for shade all day.
Yes.
Just because, like, it's you baking. Like, you are absolutely, like, just, like, exposed in a canoe. You know what I mean?
So, fun New England-y river stuff. What else for Hot Girl Summer?
Oh, people want to know. Hot Girl Summer. Let's see. I want to go to Acadia National Park in Maine, which is, like, world-famous, incredibly beautiful. There's, like, this incredibly famous lighthouse there, which I would love to shoot. And it is 5 hours away from us, which isn't that bad. So I thought, and it's kind of like not that far from Bangor, Maine, which we've been to before for a shoot, for a private client shoot. Mm-hmm. And when we were up there, we drove around to see some of the Stephen King things because he's from Bangor. And a lot of his stories like It and things like this are based in a fictional town, but it's based on like Bangor. Do you say Bangor or Banger?
Banger.
Banger.
But we did talk about this on another podcast.
Oh, yeah. No, fair enough. But what I'm saying is I want to go up there and do the proper Stephen King tours because, like, there was a proper, like, led tour by someone, but you, like, weren't interested in waiting for it or something. The timing was wrong.
The timing was weird.
Yeah.
It just didn't work for us.
So I was like, oh, let's go back up. We'll go to Acadia. We'll take the dogs. We'll probably have to get, like, an Airbnb so that we can, like, go on the Stephen King tour and, like, they can stay back at the Airbnb.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. That's on my list. I made a list the other day. I think of my next one. What's your next one?
I want to go see Mick Foley. He is touring right now. Mick Foley is a retired professional wrestler.
You always have such relevant stuff.
Well, he does a stand-up show basically, and he's doing a number of them in New Hampshire.
I know, but I thought they were all sold out.
No, there was one in Vermont that was sold out because it was the 25th anniversary of his famous Hell in the Cell match with The Undertaker.
I gotcha. There's got to be one or two people who listen to this podcast who know who Mick Foley is.
He's awesome. He posted today. He's at Santa's Village.
Oh my God, he loves Santa. He famously loves Santa.
So he's on
so
vacation in the White Mountains, and that's where
so
we're gonna be.
Sweet. Yeah, that's cool. I think I want to go on the Cog Railway. It's like a famous railway up in like North Conway, like in the mountains in New Hampshire. And I don't know what it does. I think it just takes you on a ride, and it's pretty.
That would be fun.
That would be fun. And I want to. You want me to get my list?
You get a more proper list.
Yeah, it's literally in a notebook, handwritten like a little kid.
Just the stuff at the top of your head.
All right, well, those are going on top of my head.
I'm going to see the Smashing Pumpkins in August.
I know.
With my dad.
True. Which is, you know, like, if we're being fully transparent here in terms of like Shutterhound stuff, you and I have not decided if we're driving out yet to Vegas or if we're flying. And if we're driving, it's going to be tight with the Smashing Pumpkins. Because if we're driving, I Googled it today, it's 40 hours.
Yeah.
So we'll have to do like 4 10-hour days, but probably they would be broken up maybe by like a 2 nights here. And you know what I mean? Like, so it's not so insane of driving.
I've already done the research on this.
Yes.
If you want to have this conversation on air, I know that you want to tie in the trip to Vegas with maybe a trip afterwards to Moab.
Yeah.
Which sounds amazing. And I'm for
You're about
it.
To shoot me down because you always shoot me down.
I am not going to shoot you down. I think it's great. I love Moab. Your brother wants to go. It would be awesome to get him there. We would have the dogs with us. We would be able to pack up the car and bring certain things with us to Shutterhound. There's a lot of pluses to it.
Yeah.
I did some basic research, and with the amount of time that I know you're going to want afterwards, probably going to cost us about 10 grand to drive.
No. I looked up a car rental today, and it was like $2,800.
Understood. But you know that we have to spend money on Airbnbs for at least a week before and a week after, right?
I'm not saying, I ain't saying anything right now. We can camp. Let's get a tent.
Let's get a tent.
Could rent a camper, you know. That's an option. You can rent an RV.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever, everyone. This is the behind the scenes of us figuring out what we're going to do. Because the conundrum is, like, there's a couple reasons why we would love to have Joshua and Junie there, our dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the only way to get these two hamburger-shaped pit bulls out to Vegas is to drive them out versus flying, which is obviously way more convenient and quicker. But then in that case, we would not be able to bring them. And I mean, it's not the end of the world, but there are a couple of special events happening where it would be really cool to have them.
I know. So that's the big debate that
we're
having.
You're the one who like suggested even bringing them in the first place.
I understand that because I think that it would be really special to have them there. And we have people coming that would be able to watch them, and the hotel is dog friendly and all that stuff. So we're just working out those logistics. And I guess we'll report back once we figure out an answer, as opposed to having this long arduous debate on the podcast.
And while we're doing all this, I'm looking outside, man, those clouds are still looking good.
All right, so then what we're gonna do is we're gonna break, and we're gonna come back with actually a little bit more photography than we typically talk about on this photography podcast.
Woo!
What do you think about that?
Yahoo.
Neat. Hey, Kaylee, who would you say are the biggest names in dog photography?
Oh, I mean, off the top of my head, probably Sophie Gaumond, Alicia Zimiswowska, Seth Castile, Craig Turner-Bullock, Taryn Bayer, Carly Davidson, Alex Kearns, Elka Vocalsong, Charlotte Reeves, Nicole Begley, Andrew Knapp, and Ewan Shane.
Honestly, I'd throw you, Kaylee Greer, in that mix, too.
Aw, thanks. And I suppose I'd throw you, Sam Haddix, in there, too. You know, by default. Why do you ask?
Well, I was thinking, wouldn't it be incredible if we can get every single one of those amazing photographers, and me, all together in one incredible location for a once-in-a-lifetime event?
What a very specific and pointed question. It just so happens that the exact hypothetical event you've described is very real, and it's called Shutterhound.
Shutterhound? Wow, love it. And when exactly is this Shutterhound you speak of?
Why? Did you pronounce shutter so specifically, number one? And number two, it's September 5th, 6th, and 7th, 2023 at the Mirage Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, baby!
Sounds amazing. The only thing that would make it even better would be a special speaking engagement with the most famous dog photographer of all time, William Wegman.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I not mention that William Wegman is our special guest speaker?
All right, I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
Well, you should probably know this since we're the ones hosting this conference, but head to www.shutterhoundconference.com to sign up.
Shutterhoundconference.com. Got it.
And put on your party pants, because we're Shutterhound bound.
Shutterhound, September 5th, 6th, and 7th, 2023 at the Mirage Las Vegas, Nevada. Head to shutterhoundconference.com to learn more. Party pants not included.
And we're back, and we're comfy and cozy on the couch today, and I have blue and pink and white socks on, which you, look at these, Sam. Look at them.
So people ask us all the time, is like, hey, like, you guys talk about a lot of photos in this podcast, like, why don't you do, like, a video version? And the answer is, Kaylee's like, you mean I need to get video
right,
ready every time I want to record?
I mean,
I'm wearing like gym clothes and I'm like unshaven and unwashed today, but that's basically my default mode. And I don't think people expect much more than that from me.
Listen, I just want to say real quickly, because I know what you're getting at, but I just want to say real quickly that from here, I can see all the poison ivy on your upper thighs.
Yeah.
Which is very, very sexy.
I think I got it from weed whacking.
I don't know. We are often rolling around in poison ivy at shoots, though.
Yeah, but I thought that up until literally like the last week, I was pretty certain that I was immune to poison ivy because I've never had it before.
Right.
I'm like, you know, almost 40 years old, and I've never had poison ivy.
Ew. Don't say you're almost 40. Ew.
Until right now. Oh. And yes, it's all over my upper inner thigh,
which is like really something.
It's a weird place to be itching myself.
It kind of harkens me back to that shoot that we just did the other week with beautiful Grover, mm-hmm. right? And then at the end of Grover's shoot, I knew that I rolled in poison ivy. Like, I saw it, and I, like, the shot was so worth it for where I needed to be that I'm like, forget it. So, who cares? Screw it. I'm going in. So I went into the poison ivy, and I was, like, rolling around. And after the shoot, I asked the client if I could go back to their house because their house was really close and like, have some Dawn. If they could bring me some Dawn dish soap and I could, like, bathe in their driveway in the hose. And they're like, oh, sure. Yeah, you can use our hose. So I went back to their house and quite literally, like, hosed myself and used a bunch of Dawn. And I was all soapy just standing in their driveway.
Listen, it's no one said it was a glamorous profession.
But, like, the Dawn saved me from getting too much of it. I, like, pretty much it helped me. I got, like, 10% of what I thought I would get from that. Yeah,
because you seem to get it all the time.
Well, because I'm always, like, really in it. Like, I'm like, you know what I mean? Because, like, often it's like, oh, it's so pretty and the light's catching. And, yeah, I don't put the dog in it. But if I need to be there for the right angle, then, like, I don't know.
You're
often
just getting
I just
in it.
Am. Yeah. Anyway, you were getting to if this was a video podcast. Because I told you about my socks and you didn't respond, which was very hurtful.
I think you were
going to tell me how nice they are.
Yeah, your Bombas, they're top-notch. Top-notch Bombas.
My baby Bombi boys.
Yes, we had this conversation, and Kaylee was like, there's no way that I'm going to be getting video ready before every time we want to do a podcast.
It's, well, like, imagine, and, like, I have to, like, brush my hair and, like, put and it. Listen, I guess I wouldn't have to. You guys could just see me in this potato state, I guess.
It's a double standard for girls, and you're not one of those girls that puts on a ton of makeup. You don't have a dramatically different appearance pre-makeup and post-makeup.
That's nice. Thank you.
But I know that you still want to look your best, and I know that when you properly get ready for something, it's an hour.
It's just painful.
So it becomes a different sort of commitment where, like, I can sit down and hit record, or I can be like, Kaylee, we gotta record, and then, like, an hour later, maybe you're ready to start.
Oh, I gotta brush my hair. I gotta put on skin cream. How about some highlight? A little bit of sparkles.
And then,
how
about and then lighting? Is the lighting right in here?
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Stupid. I know. So this is the part where we're supposed to talk about the photo.
Right. Okay. So yes, I'm excited to talk about this photo this week because you specifically asked for a photo that wasn't necessarily from some crazy place that we went, but it's a place that we shoot a lot more commonly. It's, you know, it's within the suburbs of Boston. It's a park that we love, but it's a great example of just how to create an incredible photo. I mean, this photo is one of my favorites that you've ever taken. In a place that, like, you've been to before, how to create something different, what to look for, the technique behind it. I really love this photo. So, yes, this is a photo of Taylor.
Taylor, the lab. And she was, like, a silver lab. You know that? That is, like, so weird and rare.
Yeah. So definitely go and describe this photo because it is... extra special.
It's up to me. I see. I'm opening my phone right now.
And this was from a private client shoot in 2020, I believe.
You know, it was so weird. We had, like, our busiest year ever. Well, actually, this year's been busier, but, like, 2020 up to that time in our business was the busiest year we ever had, which was so weird because it was COVID and it was full lockdown. But as soon as they opened, it was like May, late May or something, when they fully opened the parks again.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, you can go outside. You can do things outside. We were so busy with shoots, it was crazy. We went to the same park and just stayed outside and stayed 6 feet away.
This was the year of Kaylee not hugging clients and her just feeling, just being devastated about it every time.
Yeah. It felt so awkward, like, walking up and being like, well, hello. Like, instead of being like, it's so great to meet you. Wow. But then from COVID, you know, I realized that, like, not everybody wants to hug. And that is so weird to me, but I also, like, get it. And I'm sorry for anyone I ever hugged who didn't want it. I didn't realize that, like,
this is your, like, you're getting canceled because you, like, hugged too many people.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is your, like, public apology.
I mean, you do think about it for one second. I know this is the photo part, but think. Yeah. When you hug someone, it's like, let me press my body against your body, stranger.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty weird, I guess. I don't know. Maybe, like, a handshake will do, or a hearty salute. But, well, like, for me, I don't feel, like, warm. Like, I don't feel like it's a warm, like, welcome or a warm hello without a hug.
It's also a personal thing. It's also a cultural thing. I mean, yeah. I know, like, the Japanese culture, like, they bow, mm-hmm. and they bow specifically because it's way more hygienic than shaking someone's hand or hugging or whatever.
True, that is true.
And this
was,
you know, for hundreds of years before COVID, they were just like, hey, it's kind of gross if I take my dirty hand and smush it on your dirty hand.
Especially because, like, some cultures, like, the one hand was the wiping hand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. But here's the thing. I think hugging is way more, like, hygienic and less creepy than shaking hands. I'm not interested in touching someone else's hand. I'm really not. Like, I don't even mean to be cold or rude or whatever. It's just, I am so careful with how much I wash my hands and the things that I touch. And if I touch, like, weird raw meat, I get freaked out. And then it's like, I wash and wash and wash. And maybe that's weird and germ freaky of me. But I also don't want to touch someone else's hand. But I have no problem hugging them because, like, I can... I don't know, like, they have clothes on, so, like, my skin's not necessarily touching their skin. And also, I can put my head, like, I can really turn my head away from their, like, face.
And why are you wearing the tissue boxes on your feet?
Why? What are you saying?
This is another Howard Hughes reference.
Oh, Howard Hughes. What did he do?
Well, he was famously, like agoraphobic and germophobic and,
yeah,
and that sort of thing.
Yeah, but who's Howard Hughes?
Who's Howard Hughes? For whatever reason, I feel like you never saw The Aviator, which is weird because you're such a huge Leonardo DiCaprio fan.
Yeah, I know, but I don't like plane movies.
It's not...
I'm
like,
out if it's
not
about
a movie
plane.
About, like, here's how you build a plane, step by step.
Oh, not interested.
No, it's yeah, he was a famous, engineer, you know, he owned, but was it Boeing? And then he was also a movie director. He was fascinating, dated movie stars, all this stuff. But then the later part of his life, like, he was, like, you know, collecting his urine in jars.
Oh,
and, like,
you know. Yeah. That's all right.
There's an excellent Simpsons episode where Mr. Burns builds a casino, and he becomes, like, Howard Hughes, trapped in the casino and never wants to leave.
Oh,
and he
God.
Tries to force Smithers to get into a model-sized plane, which is hysterical. But he's got the super long fingernails, and he's wearing tissue boxes on his feet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, thank you for explaining that reference. All right. I'm going to describe this photo.
Oh, my God. We're still doing that.
Okay. This is a photo of Taylor, a nine-year-old silver lab, but I will say in this photo, this particular image, like, she renders her pretty brown, so she looks pretty much like a chocolate lab in this photo. But and she is standing, it's a wide angle shot, of course. Who are you talking to here? Kaylee Greer. And she is standing, like, basically in a, like, a beach setting, but it's low tide to the point where there's only maybe, like, a half an inch of water just all across the sand. So it's like a mirror, like a glass mirror. And the sky is, like, these swirly, amazing, almost sunset-y looking clouds. And it's, like, a gradient from the horizon line up to the top, from, like, warm, warm yellow all the way up to, like, a cool blue. It's so stunning. And she's standing just right in the middle of this, like, glassy, sandy ground, just looking right into the lens with a big smile.
Beautiful.
Did I do okay? I mean, what do you think here? That's what it looks like.
You did pretty nice. We got a nice sun setting in the background. Yeah, the colors are really spectacular. It's a really, really dynamic sky.
The sky's pretty. Like, that's a dream sky. I would pay dollars for that sky to come out at every shoot.
Right, to guarantee that sky.
But if you haven't seen this image yet, which you haven't, because I just told you about it, go over to the Instagram at Adventures in Dog Photography.
Mm-hmm.
Or go to adventuresanddogphotography.com.
Is that a thing?
Absolutely not. But I said it to get a rise out of you, but I didn't really get a rise out of you. You were very calm about it.
I believe adventuresanddogphotography.com brings you to your website.
Oh, does it really?
I think so.
I was just making it up. The only place you can see this photo is on Instagram at Adventures in Dog Photography. I just was, like, really excited to get you, like, roused and like, upset.
Just to tell people to go to the wrong place.
Yeah, and you were going to get upset. But I did tell you, to be fair, like, before this, I was like, Sam, be calm. I was like, Sam, don't be mean to me. Be calm. So that's a full behind-the-scenes fact. So Sam is, like, taking it easy on me today.
I'm going so easy.
Yeah, it's so nice. Thank you. So, I really appreciate that. I'm sensitive today.
So here's
sensitive, and I like to stay that way.
Wow, what a deep cut.
It is a deep cut. Someone might know where that song's from, though.
Yeah. Is that right? Jewel?
It's Jewel. From 1998? Maybe.
Maybe.
Anyways, yes. All right, so let's talk about this.
Yes, let's talk about it.
So this is a location that mm-hmm, we shoot mm-hmm. at pretty often. It's one of my favorite spots, like, in all of New England. It's mm-hmm. so spectacular. It's so special because here's the thing. I love sunset. I would say it's pretty fair to say at this point that, like, my work is kind of known for, like, sunsets, like, being pretty spectacular in terms of, like, waiting for the right time of day for that color and that light. And Well, I mean, every photographer waits for good light, but you know what I mean? Just like, hopefully, if it's a dog breath photo, hopefully it has a cool ass sky. And this park is on a peninsula. It's like basically this like long beach that spans all around the like a peninsula shape, which means that because we're on the East Coast in Boston here, we only see sunrise over the ocean water, but sunset happens over the land, right? Because sunrise is in the east, sets in the west. Hey, Hawaii, right? The physics of the sun. So in terms of that, I always want to get the sun setting over the water because all those West Coasties will agree that that is a spectacular sight. And the, when the sun goes over the water, it also like the water acts like this huge mirror, like reflecting back all this light. So it feels like it stays light longer. It, basically the water and the sky combo like hold the light longer. So you get this really like beautiful, long drawn out like twilight like kind of situations, scenarios, if you will. And so that's, this park is pretty special. It's south of Boston and it's on a peninsula. So what that means is that you can go on basically the west side of the park and then look back over the water. And you're looking back towards like the mainland. You're looking back towards like the city of Boston and everything. But because there's the bay there, there's so much water that it kind of feels like you're just looking out into endless forever ocean water.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can get this rare phenomenon while living on the East Coast and shooting on the East Coast, but getting the sun setting over the water, which is so cool. So that's why we like this place.
It is. And this spot is like easily 2 hours from where we live, but we drive to it so that we can get better photos.
And the last time we went there, which was like 2 days ago or for a shoot, it took us 3 hours to get there.
Yeah, sometimes it's that Boston traffic is just bananas.
3 hours.
Yes. So here's the thing about this spot, because we do go to it often, but I will say that, and one thing I got to give you, you know, props for is that you don't go there and take the same photos over and over again, but with different dogs. It's like, okay, this dog, go pose number one here.
Right.
Pose number two here. Pose number three, because that's like, it's not particularly creatively fulfilling for you. And I know that's something that you still strive for, is to just make better and better photos, the best photo you can possibly make every time, you know, working with a dog and what they'll give you and all that good stuff. But also trying to make variety in photos that, like, you know, you haven't seen before. So when we get to this particular spot, you know, we're basing our shoot around, like, is the weather good? Is the sky good? The time of day, is the light good? All that stuff. One thing we don't necessarily have control over and is kind of a wild card is the tide. So the tide itself can be really, really high up. And then we have one set of options for photos and the tide can be kind of medium. And then in this particular case, which again, I haven't really seen very often, the tide's really, really far out. And so, you know, you get this huge expanse of just mud. You know, just shiny mud with maybe like a half inch of water on it.
But the thing is, like, normally, though, when the tide is out, and we've been to this place like hundreds of times, probably at this point, just over the course of life. Mm-hmm. Right. And usually when the tide's out, it's like out. So like, yes, there's mud that's exposed, but it's not really even that wet. It's just like poopy looking brown mud. You know what I mean? But this day.
Yeah, doo-doo ground.
This day was, I will never forget this day because it's like never happened again. First, I don't know what this was, but for some reason, the tide was out and the mud was like exposed, but there was like a perfect like quarter inch, maybe half inch of water still on top of like just this layer of water all the way as far as the eye could see, like across this mud. So it was like this piece of glass. Like it was so unreal. It was absolutely unreal. It was like, oh my god, there's like a mirror on the ground.
Right. And so this is where like you have to hope that you have a really cool client and a really cool dog to be like, hey, here's what we want to do. We want to walk about 80 feet out through the mud.
Yes.
And then do our shoot out there. And like
keep in mind, this is like sticky, like sandy, disgusting, like ocean mud that smells worse than you could, like worse than like a porta potty lineup of like 75 bathrooms.
Yeah, it's not awesome.
Awful.
And then, you know, like also there's like, when the water's that low, it unearths all these weird things that
creatures.
Like, creatures, but also just like, oh, there's a tire. You know
oh,
what
yeah,
I mean?
There
like,
was a tire somewhere in the background.
Right. Just weird stuff like that. So it's like, it's not glamorous. It's not like awesome to like just kind of like look at. But then when you take the photo and you're like, this, and you know, show the client and be like, this is what the photo looks like. They go, oh yeah, we'll do whatever you want. Like, absolutely, let's get in the mud.
I mean, what an unreal like set of circumstances. Because this guy, if the mud was like that, like with the sparkle water on it, but then the sky was like plain, or it was like maybe super overcast, it just wouldn't have had the same effect at all.
Right.
So it just, they lined, things lined up, and then you had to be, you kind of have to be spontaneous in the moment and be like, whoa, let's flex with this, let's go with this, we've never done this before, but how about we walk, like you said, like 80 feet out into the mud when nobody has like boots on or anything.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the mud was sucking in like my shoes, like sucking off my shoes. So like you'd step in it and it'd be like suction down, and then you'd go to take your next step and your shoe would get sucked into the mud and your foot would come out of it. And it was happening to everybody, but I was like really zealous, so it was really happening to me.
Yep. And luckily, again, client was awesome, totally game for this. The dog was awesome, very, very easy and very happy to go playing in the mud and water. So we had all that going for us. If we didn't have those two things going, like this photo doesn't happen.
Right, that's the thing. So many factors have to line up. Like the dog has to be comfortable with it.
Yep.
The dog has to be willing to like travel through it and play in it and be happy looking and also be comfortable with all our photography gear and lighting and things like this. Like not every dog is.
Right, which is one of the reasons that this photo is so special, because all those things did line up really well. Now can I dive a little bit into like a technical sort of thing with like the composition of this photo and lighting and all that stuff? Are you game to talk about that sort of thing?
I mean, I think that's what the podcast is for.
All right.
I'm pretty sure it is for that. And while you do that, I am going to grab Junie and pull her into my lap because she owes me a cuddle.
Okay.
It's the only rent she has to pay.
Because here's the thing. If you look at this photo, and this is, I'm going to talk about this a lot more in detail and during my talk at Shutterhound, where I'll be talking a lot about using lights on location and that sort of thing. But a problem that I see in a lot of photography, especially with people that try to light outside, is that they're not choosing a great background in regards to dynamic range. So for those of you that listen to this podcast and aren't photographers, and I know there's a few of you out there because they're just into our weird stories, dynamic range is basically like the difference between the darkest color in the scene and the brightest color
not
in the
color.
Scene. Well, luminance value.
Yes, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, so it's the difference between the brightest and darkest part of a scene.
Mm-hmm.
A good example is like if you have tall trees around you, you look at those trees, there's a good possibility that trees are really dark compared to a really bright sky above that. And while your eye can see a lot of detail in everything, the camera, even the best camera, can only do so much in regards to capturing detail and super bright things and super dark things all at once. So what's happening in this photo is you have a really bright sky and you have a really bright reflection of that sky and the bottom half of the frame, and you don't have a lot else happening in the photo. There's maybe like a tiny, tiny tree line way in the background, but there's nothing else that's going to be of like an extremely different luminance value. Everything's bright. And then the dog is bright because we're putting a bright light onto the dog. Does that make sense? Or are you doing something else now?
No, I'm taking your picture so I can put it up on the grams for you.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
I look excellent.
You're asking me if it makes sense? Of course it makes sense. Well, I mean, listen, it makes sense to me. But you're explaining it to all of our friends.
Right.
So I feel like...
Do you think that makes sense to the folks out there in radio land?
I can think so.
Yeah.
I think some of this stuff can feel complicated until it's explained in simple terms, and then you're like, oh, okay, that's not so intimidating, and I think you did a nice job.
Thank you. So the moral of the story is, like, if you look for a location that is very, like, everything's really bright, you can capture that in your camera pretty easily. If you look for a location where everything's pretty dark, you can capture that in your camera pretty easily. If you look for a location where parts of your frame are super bright and parts are super dark, you're going to have kind of a hard time getting a cohesive looking photo out of it. There's some push and pull you can do after in editing, but there's only so much. So that's, I think, one of the reasons that this is so special, because normally the bottom part of your frame would be a bit darker because it's not normally a massive reflection of the sky. But when there's water or that sort of thing, you can get that. You can expand that sky basically throughout your whole image, and you can, you know, have more colors, more brightness, more dynamicism.
Dynamicism is the word, I think. Yes. Yeah.
Something like that. So that's a technical thing that I wanted to talk about with that photo, and that's, I think, one of the reasons that it's so successful, aside from the fact that, like, you know, the dog looks great. Like, the dog looks like he's having the best time ever.
And like she happens to be like a really nice complimentary like color and like tone and texture. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, and I'm sure other pet photographers will like agree, you'll have a dog that is beautiful in and of himself or herself or whatever. And you'll have a scene that's beautiful in and of itself. But like when you put the two together, they kind of like are mismatched. It's a little bit like jarring in your brain because you're like, oh, I have this like, I don't know, like I have this maybe like a pug, you know what I mean? Or like a squishy kind of not necessarily as regal sort of breed on like a glacier. You know what I mean? It just doesn't compute as well.
Right. It's not a wolf on a mountaintop.
Yeah.
It's like you said, a pug or just some like Junie. It's like you put a Junie in someplace epic and you're just like, there's a derpy dog in the middle of this epic landscape and there is a weird juxtaposition there.
Yeah, it's like the visual harmony or something. Like there's no harmony to the story. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's okay. Like sometimes it's kind of fun to juxtapose a really derpy dog with like an epic scene or whatever. Sometimes it works to your advantage. Like it's there's nuances to it. But I think in this case, like it just happened to that the dog was just kind of the most like beautiful neutral color for the scene. Mm-hmm. And again, her texture is absolutely beautiful because she's wet because she was playing in the water. And I love that. There's nothing I love more than like a dog's like the texture of a wet dog's fur, especially when it's up close and it's kind of lit. Because if we use lighting, it really helps capture all those details. And it's funny, too, because a lot of my clients like will be a little wary of their dog getting wet at the beginning. And I get that. Like, if they want some dry photos of their dog, we'll do that before we let the dog, like, fully release into, you know what I mean? Like, get released and go into the water. Mm-hmm. Especially for certain breeds that, like, have a certain groom or something where they look really, like, specific when they're dry and then also specific in a different way when they're wet. So, but there are other dogs, like this dog, Taylor, who's, you know, a lab. She doesn't look that different when she's wet, but it gives me this amazing texture, which I'm obsessed with. There's nothing that I love more specific. This is such a specific thing than like the, I don't know what you call this part. Some groomer will know and they will tell me. But you know, like the chest, like that, the dog hair, that's like the fur that's on the chest of a golden retriever. Mm-hmm. And then when it gets wet, how it gets like crimped. It's mm-hmm. like extremely like wavy and crimped, like specific. It is the most beautiful looking thing in photos, especially when you're using like lighting and you're really up close to it. It's so stunning. And so I always say to people who are a little wary about, oh, I don't know if I should get them wet. Will that look bad? I'm like, no, it'll look better. It almost always looks better. Unless we're talking about like, for example, we had Siren the poodle the other day. And she was groomed so beautifully, standard poodle, right? And she had these like big, oh, is he, okay, hold on, break for Joshua's kissing noises. People are really gonna love this.
He's not stopping, so I need to mic it. Those are some nice sounds, Joshua. It's really adding to the technical talk that we're having.
I think that like most people just love the sound of like a wet lick on skin.
This is the portion of the podcast where we do ASMR.
My God, goodness. So like with Siren the poodle, for example, like she had those, not only did she, think of a standard poodle's like perfect groom, and then she had this like amazing hair, like her on her head, which was like, I don't even know what you call this cut, but like it was like just this massive tuft of amazing hair.
That's like an afro.
I guess. And then she
it's
had
like a sweet poodle afro.
And then she had her like I'm sure there's a word for these too, but the puffs that are on the like feet.
Listen, we gotta get our grooming friends on.
We should have Megan on sometime. We have a really close friend who's an amazing groomer, and she does creative grooming and stuff too. She's unbelievable. Shout out to the Soggy Doggy.
Mm-hmm.
Norwood, Massachusetts. I think is it Wood or Well? I always forget. I always forget. I think it's Norwood.
I believe that's Norwood because Norwell, I want to say, is by Hingham.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, yeah. It's so interesting for everyone listening, yes. I'm sure. But anyway, so like Siren, for example, because she was going to look so different once she got wet, we decided not to get her wet until the last, like, you know, 15, 20 minutes of the shoot. But like this dog, like I said, Taylor, like it was no problem if she got wet right away. So mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite parts of this is like it adds to the story too. Like when she's all, Junie is so cute right now. She's bonking the mic around with her nose. She's in my arms because I tell her that like she can live here for free. But the only debt that she incurs by living here and me feeding her and putting a roof over her head is that she must snuggle for 1 hour a day. So right now she's doing it. She's paying off her debts to me.
So listen, before we wrap up this particular photo, any other things you want to say about this photo? Because I have one other part about this day that really sticks out to me, which hysterical.
That's so funny. About this photo, well, it's shot really, really wide. And I think like the wideness of this, which I'm going to assume is 11 millimeters. Yeah,
this is your 11 to 24.
Because I got the 11 to 24, like, did I get it in 2020 or 2019?
Ooh, good question. I want to say 2019.
Okay.
And then also, you got to rattle off your settings
here,
too.
Yeah, no, I was getting there. Okay, cool. I was getting there.
All right.
But so, yeah, I shot this probably up 11 millimeters, if I know me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the answer for sure because I'm not looking at the metadata, but we did look at it before we started, and I just don't remember. But I do remember that I shot it at F9.
No, F10.
Oh, no.
Not that it makes a difference.
Okay, F10. F10, 1/200th of a second, because that's the sync speed, and then ISO 100. Because I had to be all the way down because there was plenty of light,
mm-hmm.
Which is, and I like the F10 idea because it keeps a lot of the scene sharp, and that's kind of like my look. I like that. And I think the wideness of the lens also really adds to the like epicness of the feeling of this image because I wouldn't really be able to get so much foreground and so much background like otherwise. Like it cut out a lot of the amazing reflection that's on the ground. If I shot this at like 70 to 200, for example, it'd be an entirely different looking photo. So this feels like the perfect lens choice for this moment to me. I always change it up. Like I always, you know, I nail the shot that I think I want in my head. And then I always like try to challenge myself by pulling out like a 50 or something a little different looking to render the scene entirely differently. So I probably have something else from this spot with a different lens. So let's peek through the Lightroom catalog and see what we can pull.
Yeah, there's some good other shots from this spot, because I think at one point we got out a ball to play with as well, and there's some cool
stuff. There's some good action shots. So even though she was 9, she was like a real action girl. She was so great. So yeah, I think like generally those are my thoughts on this photo. This phenomenon is what makes this photo so special in terms of like the natural phenomenon of it. It has never happened again. It never happened before this, and it's never happened again in terms of this like exact like mirror like thing happening. It's possible it's happened, but we've just not been there to see it. But
we're not there every day.
Right. But this is like the only time it's happened at a dog brush shoot. And it makes this shoot stand out so, so brightly in my head because it's such a memorable moment. It was so special. I've like seriously was tearing up as I was shooting these. It was so amazing. And this dog was so lovely.
Now the moment that sticks out the most for me about this shoot is what happens after you grab this photo before we moved on to the next spot, which is we're maybe 80 to 100 feet out into the mud, and Kaylee's like, okay, time to go back, and she starts walking back and falling behind, and then all of a sudden I just see half of Kaylee disappear because she somehow found like a sinkhole.
Well, I mean, it was like quicksand, like the mud was like so squishy and wet. And it was like properly like quicksand.
Just out of nowhere, you're up to your hips in mud.
Yes, I fell so deep.
And
I was so deep in there.
And I was a little concerned about like, again, there being some sort of, I don't know, like weird quicksand suction thing that happens and you just disappearing entirely.
I was like really, really in there.
I mean, what a way to go.
I know. That would be awful because you would suffocate from mud and sand in your face. Oh, in every orifice.
But luckily, I was able to just kind of yank you out. But you were extremely muddy for the rest of the shoot. And this was definitely a shoot where afterwards we would have gone and hosed you down in my parents' driveway, who live not too far from this shoot location. I don't even know how we got you in the car afterwards.
I mean, probably just on a towel, lay me flat across the back seat on a towel or in the trunk area, and then take me to your parents' house and put me in the driveway and spray me down.
We got to get like a pickup truck so you can just ride in the bed afterwards.
It's a good idea. It is a good idea.
Yeah.
We like, do no, have you're a pickup not truck inside. Kind of lifestyle. I used to have, when I first met you, I had a pickup truck.
That's true.
Yeah. And I kind of do miss it because there's a lot of things that I do that are like very like mucky and outdoorsy. And we have like, I love our car so much, and we have like a really nice car now. And it's sometimes hard to put some of that like trash in the back of the car when we're done with the shoot. I mean, it's so dirty.
Oh yeah.
I pulled out like a bag with like a bunch of ants in it the other day, and I was like, oh gross. Like, oh,
forgot to take the peanut butter out of this one.
Oh god, you know what I mean? Like our car is like too nice for that. But luckily they kind of thought ahead because the back part of our car, where the back hatch opens, has this like really nice like like plastic flooring or whatever to it so that it's like pretty rugged and you can put gross stuff on it and then just wipe it down. It's not like a carpet in the back.
Right. Speaking of this exact conversation, do you want to tell everyone about your new favorite song?
My new favorite song? I'm just thinking hard about what that is. Hold on.
You make me play it during in the car.
Oh, Puppy in a Truck.
Yep.
Yep. Like a shot of, what is it? Like a shot of good luck. I got a puppy in a truck.
Mm-hmm.
And then what'd you say next?
Depends on the chorus, but and some unconditional love is one of them. But anyways, this is by Jenny Lewis.
Okay.
What's the other band that she's in?
Rilo Kiley. Yeah. Rilo Kiley.
Yeah.
So if you just do yourself a favor and just pull up on the old Spotify's or the Apple Music's or whatever it is that you use, just Puppy in a Truck by Jenny Lewis.
Yeah, it's a good.
We've been playing it after every single shoot on the way out of the park.
Yeah, it's a good song. It's an applicable song.
Yes,
Jenny Lewis is great. Fun fact: she's in that movie, The Wizard, with Ben Savage, Fred Savage
from The Wonder Years.
From The Wonder Years,
yeah.
This was the movie that like came out as a promotional tool for Super Mario Brothers.
That's
3.
So weird.
Yeah,
but also I loved the movie
because the movie's great. Yeah. It's also like really weird because it's about a child with I don't think they call it autism, but I'm pretty sure he's supposed to be autistic, and he is like a video game like a savant,
yeah.
And he runs away from home because he wants to go to California. He's obsessed with California.
Did we get here on this podcast right now?
Anyways, if you've seen The Wizard, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen The Wizard, go out of your way.
90,
because Super Mario 3 would have come out in 90, so I want to say 90.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
I think that timing works out.
I want to say that I've been peeling off Junie's hair this whole time. I'm petting her, and then if the hair comes off, I make a little pile on her back. Mm-hmm. And then when the pile gets big enough, I put it in a little separate spot on the couch so I can get it all at once when we leave here. And the pile was really growing, and guess what happened? Joshua just jumped up on the couch and fully laid in it. And now he's in it, and now I can see when he rolls around that all her hair is on his neck. So that's kind of fun. We'll just merge the two dogs together.
There we go. Yeah, into some sort of like rat king type of dog.
So any more thoughts on this photo before we wrap it up?
No, but I will give it 5 stars.
You're giving my photo 5 stars?
Yep.
Wow, thank you. That's such a nice thing to do. And you know, it's that's coincidental because that's how I mark them in Lightroom when they're done. 5 stars.
Oh yeah.
Anything with 5 stars is 100%. Edited, done, delivered.
We'll give the in-depth Lightroom podcast on a different day. Yeah. So we're gonna wrap it up here. So
you're not doing a final segment.
No, because you made it very clear that you need to get outside and you need to enjoy the sunshine.
Wait, can we like take the dogs for a walk real quick? I need a breather.
Yes, we can. We can get outside and do that. But you need to leave the people with first one piece of photography advice and then a song. Well, so let's start with the photography advice. Doesn't have to do with. Oh my God, hang on, Joshua's stuck. It can be any random piece of photography advice that you want to throw out with absolutely no segue
into it.
I got it. Let's hear
it. So for me, this is what I like. You can do whatever you want, but I would suggest you shoot in cloudy white balance.
Ooh.
Because whenever the camera accidentally pops over to like auto or like tungsten or something awful, like for any reason, I'm like, what is happening? Oh, it's awful. It's hard to look at. And it makes me less in love with my photos on location. And so it makes me give up on ideas quicker. Like if I don't realize that I got knocked into auto and everything's coming out, typically everything's coming out of my camera, like really cold feeling, like very blue and very cold. I like don't like when I'm shooting and I'm feeling like less motivated. And then I look at the photo and I go like, I can't continue with this idea because it's not working. When in reality, it's a great idea. And I'm just like not liking what I'm seeing and it throws me off.
Right. And to be fair, you shoot outside. So yes. In the studio, it might be a little bit different. And I also have a piece of advice on that, which you hate. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to hate this.
Oh, I hate this. And I know what you're going to
say. Because it doesn't work for everyone, but it works really well for me because I feel the same thing. If my white balance is off, I get obsessed with color. And then it makes me either like or not like a photo when like that's something that's very easily changeable afterwards.
Yeah.
So I tend to shoot, even though I'm shooting in RAW, but I'll shoot with a black and white preview on the camera, so I'm worried about again, the composition and the dynamic range and the sharpness and all that fun stuff. I'm not obsessed with my white balance until I get it home and on the computer and that sort of thing. So the photos are, they load in color, but on my camera, they show up black and white. And that works really well for me. And every time Kaylee gets my camera and, like, and it's on that setting, she's like, what's this trash?
I'm like, are you a sociopath? You're shooting without colors. Oh! We're very different artists, and that's okay. That's what makes the world go round, right?
That's all right.
Art is beautiful because it's subjective and to each their own. And you were going to make me do something else. I forget.
Yeah, I was going to force you to sing a song. So again, Hot Girl Summer. We're going to see you guys in 2 weeks with another episode of Adventures in Dog Photography. In the meantime, we're going to go float around in the river, and Kaylee's going to leave you with a song all about floating.
It's very much not a bummer. It is hot girl summer, and if you need to call a plumber, then do it. That's it.
That's it? Great. Fantastic. See you guys in 2 weeks on Adventures in Dog Photography. Adventures in Dog Photography with Kaylee Greer and Sam Haddix is a Dog Breath production. Follow us on Instagram at Adventures in Dog Photography, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.